This week, I'll be talking about the adaptable expat mindset and what it takes to be a successful expat. We all have expectations of what moving to another place might be like, especially another country. And those expectations are almost always wrong. The decision to be an expat is an experiential and not a logical decision. Cue the music.
Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies, listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers, and finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made six career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 282 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for a discussion on what it's like to repurpose your career. This week, I'll be talking about the adaptable expat mindset and what it takes to be a successful expat. We all have expectations of what moving to another place might be like, especially another country, and those expectations are almost always wrong. The decision to become an expat is an experiential and not a logical decision. A lot of what I will discuss comes from a workshop I developed for Amava on the thought process of becoming an expat. Well, Amava has ceased operations, and I thought I would repurpose some of that content. For those who are relatively new to this podcast, my wife and I have been living in Ajijic, Mexico for 4 years. You will find all of the podcasts and blog posts on our expat page on the Career Pivot website. You'll find a link to that page in the show notes. I want to take you through the many aspects of becoming an expat and why you need to be able to maintain an adaptable mindset. Very few things will be as you expect. I am currently running my annual survey, and I would be honored if you would take a moment and take this survey about Career Pivot and this podcast. You can find a link in the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-282 or in the description in the podcast app you are using. I have already received significant feedback, and I want even more. I'll keep the survey up until the U.S. Labor Day holiday, which this year is September 5th. As some of you may know, I took a pretty bad fall in early June and hurt my back. I have fallen behind in my production schedule of this podcast. I will publish a rebroadcast of an episode during the week of September 5th. Do not be surprised that I may publish a few other episodes from the back catalog of over 280 episodes in the coming weeks. However, before we get to the episode, let's have a word from our sponsor, Career Pivot. The Career Pivot membership community is a group of people from all over the U.S. and Canada with diverse backgrounds. This is a community where everyone is there to help everyone else out, to figure out what they want to do in the second half of life, and then make it happen. Many have made changes that they did not know existed or was possible when they came to the community. They learned from each other and broadened their horizons on what was really possible. Let's hear what Debbie had to say about being part of the community.
I think one of the things I enjoyed the most was having a group of professional people that you could speak really candidly with about your situation. Obviously, we're all in the same boat, so it's not, you know, talking to a coworker hoping nobody overhears, but it's just people that you can speak candidly with. You can hear about their journeys, their careers. You know, some people have some really interesting backgrounds. And you get some idea of the struggles they've faced and some of the things they've tried and what's worked, what hasn't, you know, that can be helpful to get some direction, you know, to apply to your own situation.
I am recruiting new members. If you are interested in learning more about the endeavor, please go to careerpivot.com/community. Now let's discuss the mindset of a successful expat. For those who have not listen to this podcast a lot. I have lived with my wife in Ajijic, Mexico for the last 4 years. We own a house here now, and there is an episode on our purchase of our home here, which we purchased in October of 2021. And previously to moving here from Austin, Texas, I've worked in approximately 35 to 40 countries in my technology career. I claim to be very, very culturally aware. One of the things I learned a long time ago is we all have expectations when we go someplace, and almost always those expectations are wrong. We make stuff up. We may go visit someplace as a tourist, but it's different when you want to go live there. So you have to kind of take off your tourist glasses and put on your resident glasses. We originally thought we were going to end up in Ecuador. It turns out the elevation was too high for my wife, and it uncovered a medical condition of hers. And there was a quote from I'm going to quote you something from an Ecuadorian expat book, and this is not an exact quote, but it basically said, if you go become an expat in a foreign country, if you live like a local, eat like a local, transport like a local, try to learn the language, you will live a happier, healthier, longer life. If you want to go there and live like an American, you can. Where I live in Mexico, which is just outside of Guadalajara, you can buy all the packaged food you want. You can get away with not learning Spanish. You can drive everywhere, and you pay for that. You pay for it in money, health, and happiness. So it's a choice. One of the things I have discovered a long time ago is becoming an expat is not a logical decision. It's an experiential decision. In other words, are you happy? A lot of it will depend on how adaptable you are to this new place, because it's not going to be what you expect. And we end up getting a lot of people who do all their research online. They're looking for what's the cost and what's this and what's that. And the reality is, you end up with a lot of preconceived ideas that are based on how things are done in the U.S., and they're not done that way here. So you are going to learn, you're going to have a lot of stuff, both from a fact-based perspective and from an emotional perspective, shoved right in your face. And are you willing to deal with it, relate to it, and adapt to it? I want to break this down into the several different factors. One is relationships. There are relationships that are going with you. They're going on this journey with you. And are they on the same page? By the way, they never are exactly. You have to understand that when we see a lot of people who show up and become expats, it's not unusual to see divorces, because it brings up all kinds of stuff where there's usually one that's driving it and one following along. The one that goes back isn't always the follower. It's quite interesting. A lot of it has to do with their ability to learn and adapt. And do they enjoy the adventure? The second kind of relationship, what kind of relationships are you going to leave behind? These are things like parents, children, friends, professional relationships. Do you want to leave them behind and forget about them? Do you want to stay in touch? Sometimes you have to adapt. You're going to hear me use the word adapt an awful lot in using technology. So I use the example of my wife. Her mother lives in Far East Texas. She has a flip phone. She's not going to dial a 01152 Mexican telephone number. My wife we maintain our U.S.-based phone numbers, which, by the way, you're probably going to need to do at least initially. And so that my wife can just simply call her mother. And her mother sees the number, and her mother can call her just like she did when we lived in Texas. There are all these relationships, and I can't tell you the number of people who return. The average expat returns in under 5 years, and one of the major factors is family. How are you going to maintain those relationships? The next step in relationships is who do you want to have relationships when you show up in this new place? Do you just want to surround yourself with people like yourself? And which you can, but you lose a lot of the adventure, and not every place you can go is going to do that, is going to have that, those group of people. And so you can lock yourself up into a gated community with nothing but other expats. And I see that fair amount with people just simply want to move someplace, don't want to adapt, and you can not learn the language. Or do you want to have relationships with people of where you're moving? So I'll use the example, my wife and I, we live in a very mixed neighborhood. We have Mexicanas all around us. I have a cool little tiny little hardware store, a ferreteria, just probably 10 yards, 15 yards down the street. I know Paulina, who runs it. I've learned a lot about, Spanish. One of the most difficult things is, okay, I want a zip tie. What the heck is a zip tie in Spanish? And I look it up on Amazon, and they have one name, and it turns out I walk in there, and I ask for it, and she looks at me funny, and eventually she says, oh, cinchos. One of the things you have to learn to adapt is when you want something, and by the way, a lot of things, modern things, don't translate. Like the one time I went in there, I wanted a rope. I looked it up on Google Translate. It was cuerda. And I walk in there and necesito una cuerda. I need a rope. And she looked at me and says, no, 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 soga. In Mexican Spanish, they don't use cuerda. It's one of those things of learning to adapt. And by the way, you want something and they don't speak English, and Google Translate doesn't work for the kind of things that you want. So you have to learn. When I wanted my zip tie and she looked at me and I pulled it up on Amazon on my phone and showed her a picture, and that's when she said, cinchos. So, see, you have to be adaptable. Do you want that? My wife and I, we like having relationships with both Mexicanas, but we like our gringo friends. I'll readily admit it. And then we have other folks who say, okay, I want to completely immerse myself. And we have friends who live in Guanajuato who have moved into a Mexican neighborhood. By the way, Guanajuato is a beautiful city. It's a city of stairs. It's an old mining town. They love integrating into the Mexican culture. What relationships do you want to have? Because that will depend on where you go. And then I'm going to take you through the professional relationships. You probably need to develop relationships around immigration. You can do this all on your own. By the way, be very careful where you get your information. We get lots of folks who end up on Facebook forums, and what they get is, well, the information is good as what they pay for it, which is nothing. I have done everything through my lawyer. By the way, the lawyers are not expensive. I don't think in 4 years I spent $1,000 with him. And he's done everything from us, from change of addresses to scheduling our immigration appointments at the Mexican embassies. Everything is done. And one of the things you're going to find in dealing with immigration is it's not logical. The rules with almost every kind of residency that you're going to apply for in just about any country, you have to start out in your home country at the embassy of the foreign country in your home country. So we started out with an appointment at the Mexican embassy in Laredo, Texas. And you're probably saying, why Laredo, Texas? Well, our attorney told us to go there. Now, by the way, in Austin, Texas, I live 10 minutes from the Mexican embassy. The difference is there are tons of appointments at the Laredo embassy, and there are very few at the Austin embassy. So our attorney made the appointment. We went there as we were going in, and we started the immigration process. Now, by the way, the immigration process, there are financial considerations, and I'm not going to get into. I will link to a couple of Q. RuPaul episodes from Two Expats in Mexico. They kind of goes through the different levels and the financial requirements. And you'll also find that in these episodes that the rules are the same at every embassy, but they're not applied the same way. This is not logical. It's very, you will experience a lot of interesting things. And I'll give you one quick example. Somebody posted on one of the Facebook groups, can I bring dog food across the border? And everyone was going, yeah, I've done it 1,000 times. Yeah, no problem. It's perfectly legal. And someone popped in and said, no, it's not. We got stopped at the border. They confiscated all the dog food. They left them with enough dog food for their 3 dogs so they could get to where their destination. But it's like importing meat. It's illegal. Now, the reality is when we cross the border into Mexico and we've been stopped several times to have our car inspected, they're primarily looking for gun. They're not looking for other stuff. And they're very reasonable people. But you will find that immigration people, they have a bad day, they can cause you all kinds of problems. You're going to want help. I'm going to emphasize this. Get help with the immigration because there are all kinds of things that you do not understand. The next thing I want to talk about is the technology side. The technology can be your friend, but there will be technology decisions that you will not necessarily think of initially. Like, for example, I maintain 2 smartphones, one on a U.S. network and one on a Mexican network, primarily because we drive back and forth, and I'll put a link to the blog post on our driving strategies. I have an AT&T plan, and I have a Telcel plan. And I can tell you AT&T has pretty good coverage across Mexico, but it ain't perfect. And if I ever break down, and I can tell you they have lousy service right around the immigration office in Allende, which is 20 miles from the border, and where I have to, is where the Banjocito is and the immigration office as we check out as we go through Piedras Negras. They have terrible service there. Why? I have no idea. I don't know if it's in a hole or what, but I carry 2 cell phones. I'm doing a webinar for Flex Jobs on digital nomads. I'll put a link to the recording because there's all kinds of technological things that you need to think about. Like, for example, I use Dropbox. I use cloud-based storage. And by the way, all my legal documents are there. They're easy to get. I can get to. And I'm not going to get into all the technology. The next thing is housing. And this is where a lot of people make the huge mistake of, oh, I'm going to go down there and buy. Well, what you're buying is not the same. My home here is very different than the home. It's constructed very differently than what is in the U.S. In the U.S., everything is made from sticks, wood. My home here is made from brick and concrete. And one of the things I learned over the years is the fact that people build homes from materials that are readily available. Well, they don't have wood here, not at the kind of wood that we have in the U.S. So one of the things that you have to understand is you don't understand. Supposedly I have 110 voltage, but really I have a voltmeter now that's on in one of my sockets in my living room that tells me it's usually running between 120 and 129 volts. We have power outages. And by the way, when the power comes back, it doesn't always come back cleanly or at full power. So I got surge suppressors. I'm getting UPSs or universal power supplies. These are all things you just don't think about because you're going to someplace different. I've got an electrical engineering degree. I've done a lot of home remodeling. When we were in the one rental house we were in, I had a couple of light sockets that were out. I pulled the electrical box, the cover off the electrical box, and I looked inside and every wire was black. And I said, I'm not touching this. I got my landlord's handyman in. He replaced all 3 sockets, all 3 light fixtures, and the cost was $6. It's not worth for me to do it. The last thing that you really need to be adaptable around, and you have to be adaptable in your thinking, is how medical services are delivered and paid for. One of the assumptions a lot of people make is, oh, how things are done in the U.S. is how it's done here in Mexico or any place else in the world. And by the way, nobody does it the way the U.S. does. So I want to tell you to take all your preconceived ideas about medical services, doctors, nurses, hospitals, and throw it out the window and realize that you are a complete novice. One of the things I tell people is the first thing is start making appointments with doctors. If you have specialists, and my wife was seeing an endocrinologist and a hematologist and a dermatologist. So at least with the endocrinologist and the hematologist, she made appointments. And the interesting one we picked up, we went down to one of the clinics where many of the doctors practice here in Ajijic. One of the good things is we're less than an hour from Guadalajara, so a lot of specialists come down every week from Guadalajara. Guadalajara is a city of, like, I think, 8 million people. It's a big city. My wife picked up the business card of the endocrinologist, and before we were coming down here on one of our exploratory trips, she called the number on the card. By the way, the number on the card was the doctor's cell phone number. So she gets the doctor and says, I want to make an appointment. And she said, oh, you need to call Quality Care, the clinic, to make the appointment. She says, I don't have that number. So the doctor says, oh, no problem. Give me 5 minutes. I'll get it for you. She makes the appointment. She ends up on a Saturday morning spending 2 hours with the endocrinologist. She learned things that she had never known about her condition. And by the way, my wife is a retired registered nurse. Total pain in the butt patient. The cost at the time was 700 pesos, which at the time was about $35. Now the appointments, we have inflation here, just like everyone else, is about 1,000 pesos or about $50. And no, that wasn't her copay. That was the total cost. When I've gone to see my dermatologist, normally I can get an appointment within 2 or 3 or 4 days. A week is a long time. You pay in cash. And I'll leave a link to the recent blog post I did on my wife recently got an endoscopy and colonoscopy, and she went to the emergency room. Previous to that, I talk about her experiences. Really, really good experiences. I want to touch quickly on medications and medication availability. Unfortunately, a lot of people tell you, oh, every drug is available here and it's cheaper. They tell you, no, it's not. I can tell you any number of stories. My wife was on a thyroid replacement medication, which is not available outside of the U.S. We just went back to the U.S. once a year, got a prescription for 1 year, which meant we paid outside of any insurance. We just paid out of our own pocket. Fortunately, the medication was very inexpensive. There was also a guy on Facebook who was talking about the fact that he needed Humira. Well, Humira is available here. Oh, by the way, it's $300 a month. In the U.S., he was getting Humira for free through Medicare. Unfortunately, they would only give him 1 month prescription at a time. He says, well, I'll just ship it across the border. You can't do that. It's illegal to ship it across the border. In fact, it'll get caught in the aduana or customs. Well, he's going, what should I do? Basically, I had two choices. Pay the $300 a month. Or fly to Tijuana on Valeris, which is super cheap, cross the border, go to a local CVS, get your prescription and fly back and do that every month. Probably do that for $50. Do you want to do that? It's a choice. So we've seen this with any number of folks. What we did the first time we came down, took all my wife's medications, just took it to the pharmacy and see what was available. Turns out, her one medication is not available at the local pharmacies, but it is available from the hospitals. We order 6 month supply, mail order from a mail order pharmacy in Mexico City. So don't be fooled. You got to be careful about this. And again, don't assume anything. You really need to be able to adapt. Things are going to be different than you ever really think they'll be. For example, we drive back and forth to Austin every 6 months. Why? Because we have my wife has a set of nutritional products that she can't get in Mexico. The company doesn't sell them here. So we bring them back with us. And there are enough of them. And we're probably moved once a year to do the trip. I am far more comfortable driving back and forth to the U.S. than I was initially. And there was a certain anxiety about being someplace new. What if things happen? I now speak enough Spanish, and I know the technology. I can use Google Translate, and I know enough stuff that I can actually communicate on a very basic level that if something breaks, I'm okay. I know what I'm going to do. So similarly, you're going to grow a lot. Put it bluntly, I have learned more in these 4 years than I have learned in the previous 20. I am healthier than I've been in the last 40 years. I am now 66 years old. I'm on no medications. I recently had a physical done. All my blood work is normal. My cholesterol is good. My thyroid's a little low. My doctor here is working with me with supplements to bring my thyroid up. And in the U.S., the doctors would immediately throw me on thyroid replacement medication. Biking 50, 60 miles with big climbs, and I live at 5,000 feet. If you have to decide what you're looking for if you decide to do this and take this adventure, because it is an adventure, are you up for it? Hopefully this has given you, it's either gotten you very excited or very scared. This is really no different than the stuff I've been writing about and podcasting about, career and industry disruption. Are you willing to adapt? If you're not, number one, becoming an expat can be quite stressful. Because anytime you walk into something new and you're not willing to adapt, I know people who come here and they immediately do all their shopping for food at Walmart. Yes, I got a Walmart about a mile down the road. I don't shop at Walmart. We buy all our food from local vendors, from local people. It's cheaper, it's fresher. But yes, we about every 3 months, we drive into Guadalajara and we go to Costco. I'm not perfect. But it's still a matter of fact, we've decided and adapted to the way we want to be. So are you willing to be adaptable? I'll leave you with that thought. This episode went a little longer than I had planned, therefore I did not cover health insurance or dealing with Medicare, which is really complicated. Please contact a Medicare specialist with any questions, and do not go to Facebook for advice. The advice is as good as what you paid for it, which is nothing. Also, make sure to take this year's Career Pivot Repurpose Your Career podcast survey. I will be keeping the survey open until Labor Day of 2022. Take a moment, go to careerpivot.com, sign up for the weekly Career Pivot Insights newsletter, which is sent out every Sunday. You will get a weekly update on this podcast, white papers, and new blog posts. I just published my latest white paper, Ageism, the Last Acceptable Bias. If you are subscribed to the newsletter, you have already had the opportunity to download it. While there, do not forget to check out the Career Pivot community, which can be found at careerpivot.com/community. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. Look for Career Pivot on Facebook and LinkedIn. You'll also find me on Twitter at Career Pivot. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. You will find all the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-282. You can also subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Podbeam, Overcast, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, and lots of other places where podcasts can be found. In fact, this podcast can be found on the Repurpose Your Career podcast channel on YouTube. Hope to see you next Monday for another episode of Repurpose Your Career podcast.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pair.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.